This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, let's get into some of the news that happened on Monday that you might have missed. Again, every day, I feel like it's going to slow down, but it feels like it is never going to slow down. There will always be Eagles news. So I want to get into another Eagles coach that's being interviewed for a job with the New Orleans Saints. Kellen Moore just trying to poach everybody from this staff. Maybe he should have just stayed in Philadelphia if he wanted to work with these coaches. And then Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated wrote a really good story about Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles. And then also, I got an 8-minute soundbite I want to play for you. And I rarely do the long soundbite, but this is so good, and I feel like you'll just enjoy it, so I'm going to play it for you guys. So we'll get into that on the other side of the break. But first, let's get into the news of the day. As I said, the New Orleans Saints have requested to interview Jamal Singleton for the offensive coordinator job. This is according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. So Jamal Singleton, I'm sure as you all know, but just for those that don't, is the Eagles running back coach. He has been here since Nick Sirianni got hired in 2016 and has done an awesome job. I mean, when you think about the production that they've had at the running back position, Miles Sanders played his best football here. DeAndre Swift played his best football here. We don't view it as this because, like, he's an awesome talent, but Saquon Barkley played his best football here. He's developed guys like Kenny Gainwell, who've stepped up and done a really good job. Will Shipley this year, I think, could have played more if he was in that role, or I should say, if he was needed. And the times he did play looked really good. So Jamal Singleton, a big part of the staff, obviously the running game, a big part of the offense this year, and a big part of the success of the team was the running game. And Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line, Saquon, Nick, Kellen Moore, they all deserve credit. But Jamal Singleton deserves credit as well. I mean, I think anytime your running back rushes for over 2,000 yards and sets an NFL record for total rushing yards in a season, including the postseason, you got a pretty good job from the position coach. So Jamal Singleton for offensive coordinator with New Orleans. Now, as we already know, the Saints have requested and intend to interview Doug Nussmeier, the Eagles quarterback coach, and they're also interviewing Christian Parker for their defensive coordinator job. So yeah, I mean, Kellen Moore, not joking around, trying to take some of these Eagles coaches. Now, we'll see how many end up actually going. Christian Parker, I'd be surprised if he got the defensive coordinator job. He's only 33. It seems like Brandon Staley is going to be the guy there, but would be a big loss for sure. Doug Nussmeier, maybe he gets the offensive coordinator job. It feels like, you know, Kellen, he's always been with Kellen. They've worked together for a bunch of years. I don't think the Eagles would be like devastated to see Nussmeier go. So I could picture Nussmeier be the one most likely to go. But it wouldn't shock me if Jamal Singleton like crushed this interview and all of a sudden Kellen Moore is thinking, Maybe I can get Singleton to go over. Singleton has been with the team for a long time. If he gets a chance in an offensive coordinator job, it'd be hard for him to turn that down, I would think. Now, again, all these guys have to ask themselves, do I want to go to the Saints? The Saints don't have a ton of talent. I personally don't believe in Kellen Moore as a head coach. That's something they would have to ask themselves when deciding to get the job. But it just feels like a job where in 2 years, you're probably out of a job if you take it. Now, coaches believe in themselves. And so if I'm Jamal Singleton and I'm offered the pay raise, you know, live in New Orleans, I think it's a good football town. You get a shot at an offensive coordinator job. Like, I don't blame them for taking it. It's just these aren't great situations that they're jumping to. It's not like you're going to the Lions offensive coordinator job where you have a ton of talent there. Now, I don't believe Jamal Singleton has ever called plays. And the fact that Kellen Moore is calling plays, you know, it makes it an attractive job just because it's a coordinator job, but it's a different type of candidate than the Eagles will be looking for their offensive coordinator job. So, but that's the latest. Jamal Singleton, likely going to get interviewed by the Saints. I'm sure Nick and Kellen probably exchanging a few texts like, come on, man, you're trying to raid my whole staff here. But I don't think they'll all go. I think at most he'll probably take one coach from the Eagles coaching staff. And I still do think that'll be Doug Nussmeier. But seeing Christian Parker and Jamal Singleton get interviews for these jobs, that just makes other teams pay attention to him. It puts them on the radar for other jobs around the league. Maybe they don't leave this year, but if the running backs have another great year, the defense is awesome again, I think you'll see more and more teams trying to poach away Jamal Singleton and Christian Parker, who are both also like very impressive individuals. So it wouldn't surprise me if when they get interviews, maybe they don't start as the leader in the clubhouse, but I think once interviewing them, now Kellen's familiar with them, but let's say they get an interview for another team, I think then you would really see them skyrocket up. So, hey, you win the Super Bowl, you win a lot of games, you're going to lose people on the staff. So it's actually a really good segue. I didn't even mean to do this. But Albert Breer, longtime NFL writer, does an awesome job writing, you know, stories and all that, wrote a really good story about Jeffrey Lurie and the foundation of the Eagles for Sports Illustrated. So the story mostly focuses on Jeffrey Lurie, his time as an owner. I'd be lying if I said part of me wasn't thinking that while this was being written, it was almost like, hey, everyone in Boston, look how good of an owner this guy is. Albert Breer has ties to Boston. Like, wouldn't it completely shock me if the story was a little bit like, hey, if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm reading that. That guy sure seems like a good owner. If I'm the person selling the Celtics and I'm reading that, sure seems like this guy would do a good job with the team. But regardless, right now, it is just about the Eagles and how they've been able to really be a well-oiled machine. I recommend everybody go and read the story. It's not a super long read, but it really does, I think, give you an insight to what I get to see on a day-to-day basis covering the team, which is just like the Eagles are a phenomenally run organization. It does not mean that they don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that there's employees they have who maybe aren't great employees, or that there's, you know, bad things that occasionally happen. Like any massive company, there are going to be a few that you're not going to be 100 for 100. But in my time covering the Eagles, like, they're pretty close. A lot of people that work there, awesome people. You can tell Jeffrey puts a lot of value into hiring good people, like the people I interact with on a day-to-day basis there. Good people, good at their jobs, good moral compass. Like, it's just an impressive place to walk around and to interact with the people that work there. So if you're, you know, if you've never been inside the NovaCare, if you had never had a chance to do it, I would just say, like, it's an impressive collection of people. So it's not surprising that they have so much success. And a lot of what the story is just about how they really, really focus on culture and how they really, really focus on being almost like a developmental, like you want to say quarterback factory, but almost just a developmental place where if you're employed by the Eagles as a coach or a scout, like, they are developing you to potentially take on a larger role when they lose guys like a Kellen Moore, like a Jamal Singleton, like a Christian Parker, where they are able to then essentially go in and have somebody ready to go. Now, I don't think promoting from within is always the best call, but I think it's really impressive how much the Eagles put into an emphasis of developing these guys. So there were a few kind of like main takeaways, I thought. So I want to read a few of them to you. There's no audio for this, so it'll be my beautiful voice reading it. But this one is Jeffrey Lurie talking about success and culture and why he emphasizes it. So it goes, They're talking about culture here. It doesn't guarantee success, but why not have that? You got a choice. How do you want that culture to be? Lurie said. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, we've been aligned for so long, really in a good way, both philosophically, aggressiveness, don't ever be risk averse, focus on the core aspects of roster development that are most important, and don't be afraid to admit mistakes and operate off those. It sustains a lot of things we're doing. And yeah, I mean, this goes back to when we saw in Howie Roseman's office, I forget the exact quote, but it was something like, you don't win a Super Bowl without taking big risks. And the Eagles have definitely been a big risk team. Paying Saquon all that money, drafting Jalen Carter when he fell in the draft, drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round, continuing to draft receivers even after missing, and you know there's a bit in that and there, don't be afraid to admit mistakes, going after Devontae and AJ after just drafting Jalen Reagor and JJ Arcega-Whiteside. You can just see the way the Eagles operate. Like, I was actually reading this and thinking, if I'm an owner of an NFL team, I'm reading this, taking it to my GM and going, what can we do to kind of learn from this and copy from it? So I thought that was a really good quote in terms of like the core philosophy of what they do. Don't be afraid of taking risks. Develop, whether that's on the roster or in the coaching staff or the front office. And you got to admit mistakes and move off those. And I think that last part, the Eagles have gotten a lot better at. I'm not sure it's something they've always been great at, but I think recently they've been very willing. I mean, look, Bryce Huff didn't play this year, and it's hard to call him a flat-out mistake because he just didn't play. But they certainly didn't put him out there just because he made money. Like, they played Jalix Hunt because Jalix Hunt was the better player. So I think they've gotten much better at that. The other thing, when you want to talk about like developing, I thought this was an interesting nugget. So this is written in the story, but talking about Mailata, that they agreed to give Jordan Mailata, when they drafted him, 2 years on the 53-man roster and not expose him to waivers in their belief that they could develop him. Guaranteeing a seventh-round pick who had never played football a spot, 2 years, a spot on the 53-man roster, that's a big, big-time commitment. Like, look, Mailata in a lot of ways can be the poster child for what they are good at. They're good at developing. Obviously, we just talked about that offensive line, turning him into a great player, great culture guy, like homegrown talent. Like, Mailata is the poster in a lot of ways for what they do. But guaranteeing a guy 2 years on the 53-man roster, like, those are ultra valuable spots. And it just showed how high they were on him. Now, obviously, it worked out, and he ended up being phenomenal. So it's easy now to say, well, of course you give him 2 years on the 53-man roster. But it just shows their commitment to developing and taking chances. So I thought that was an interesting part of it. Also, in terms of roster building, I thought this little nugget from Breer, the way he phrased it, is a really good look at how the Eagles are able to operate. Like, you see it all the time in free agency. You saw Joe Burrow recently talking about it, and I apologize, I forget which podcast he was on, but talking about like how the Bengals can pay Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and he essentially went like, hey, the Eagles pay everybody. So in this story, they have this little nugget on kind of how the Eagles pay everybody, and I think the way it's phrased is really good. So the Eagles have a dozen players making more than $10 million per year, with that group's total average salary per year adding up to just over $251 million. So these 12 players, if it was just you sign a 4-year, $100 million deal, your average is 25. If these 12 players just played on their average amount per deal, the cap hits would be $251 million. Those same guys count for only a little more than $107 million on the cap. There's no magic to that. Getting that number low is a matter of simple accounting, but there is a commitment it takes from ownership, with it enabling the Eagles to stack their roster by spending way over the cap. So, guys that should cost $251 million in cap space cost $107 million in cap space. I mean, that's almost a third, and it's less than a half. So how do they do that? Obviously, they give big signing bonuses. The cap hits low. They stretch it out over years. They add dummy years. And we're going to talk about that in the salary cap pod that's coming up. But how they really do it, too, is Lurie cuts big signing bonus checks. Like, shout out to Howie for manipulating the cap and figuring out to do it this way. But shout out to Lurie for making it happen. Like, Howie can have the idea, but Jeffrey Lurie makes it happen. So that's just another way in which, you know, Jeffrey is making this team a sustainable thing, is that he just spends a lot of money. Like, you know, it's when I talk about Josh Harris, like, Josh Harris spends a lot of money, and I know he's not a popular guy in the city and all that, but his issue is like the people making decisions with the money haven't done a good job. But in terms of cutting checks. Like, if Josh Harris had a Howie Roseman level executive, the Sixers will be way better because he does spend money. Jeffrey Lurie spends money, but then Howie goes and makes it into a great team. But I just thought that was so fascinating. The $251 million it should cost in cap space is only $107 million. That's almost $140 million in extra cap space the Eagles get just because of the way they operate. So that's, it's an amazing thing if you're an Eagles fan that your team operates this way. And other teams, again, should be extremely jealous that they get to operate this way. So the last thing I wanted to read from the story is talking about culture, Sirianni, building the culture. And so here's what Jeffrey says. He's done fabulously well, Lurie says of Sirianni. One of the beliefs I have, and Howie has, is the head coach's role across the league is way too complicated and difficult. We can embrace their personality, embrace their style of leadership, but not give them so much on their plate to go from play calling to 30 other things. Every single coach we've hired has had double-digit wins in their first 2 years, and there's a reason. And there's a reason they're not overwhelmed. Now, what's interesting is every single coach they've hired has called plays. Like, Doug called plays, if I remember correctly, early on. Andy called plays, and Chip called plays. So there's not a complete apples to apples there. But I think his point is a correct one on how they've been able to win with Nick. And I do think this is the way it's going in the NFL. Now, look, I was a big time head coach has to call the plays. You're in the constant state of replacing them. Replacing your offensive coordinator, if not. And I have been right about that. Like, they've lost Steichen, they moved on from Brian Johnson, and they lost Kellen Moore. So this is a team that's going to have four offensive coordinators in 4 years. Now, that matters more when he's the play caller. But I think what Lurie's talking about is probably how it's going to be around the league now. Like, you look at some of the best head coaches, a lot of them don't call plays. And I think that, you know, I'm certainly willing to learn and admit when I was wrong, but being around the Eagles and watching them go along with this philosophy of having your head coach not call plays, it does seem like the way better way. Like, if you look at the aspect of a play caller, yes, they call the play, but the quarterback audibles, the head coach is involved, the head coach sets the menu for the week in terms of like what kind of plays they like, the head coach helps sense off offensive philosophy. The quarterback helps do those things as well. Like, the actual calling of the play, while I'm not completely diminishing it, is a small aspect of everything that happens to getting that play out onto the field. And then most of the time they don't even run that play. And then half the time the play doesn't even work. So I think that this idea of having a head coach and what Jeffrey talks about here, where you embrace their leadership, you embrace their personality, and you have someone else call the plays so they can focus on everything else, I do think that's the way to go about it. And it certainly has changed my opinion on it, watching the success that they've had. So overall, I would highly recommend the article. It's a very good read. And I do think it gives, like, you know, a good look at what it's like inside the NovaCare. And as someone that's in the NovaCare, I don't think this is just like they won the Super Bowl, look how great everything is. That is truly how I've always felt it's been over the past few years. Even during the collapse, like, I thought they were a well-run team. They just made mistakes and the Super Bowl loss and all that. We've been over that a billion times. But I would definitely recommend it. Go to Albert Breer's Twitter page, check it out. It's a good read. So the other thing I wanted to get into, I thought this was just an interesting stat. And actually, look at this. Like, it's all segueing. So this is via Pick'em Instagram. I saw this on the Dov Kleeman Twitter page or whatever. And it has a graph, and it shows each team's NFL percentage of first and second round picks that are starters on the team that drafted them. So to recap that, what percentage of teams has the highest percentage of first and second round picks that they've drafted that are starters for them? 32nd, the Washington Commanders. Only 36% of the guys they've drafted in the first and second round are starters. And that makes you wonder, like, how sustainable their success is. Number one in the NFL, which this is surprising, it's the Chicago Bears. Now, I will say, if you look, like, the Bears suck. The Saints are third. They suck. The Steelers, fourth. They don't suck, but they're not a great team. The Bucks, not contenders. Colts, not contenders. Chargers, not contenders. So here's where I think this is impressive. A lot of the really good teams have had to build through free agency. Like I said, Washington Commanders are 32nd in this. The Vikings, not true contenders, but they did win 15 games, whatever it was, 40%. They're 30th. The Niners, 29th in the NFL, 43%. The Rams, 26th in the NFL. The Packers, 25th in the NFL. The Chiefs, 22nd in the NFL. Your Philadelphia Eagles, second in the NFL. 90% of the first and second round picks that are starters, 90% of the first and second round picks that are starters are with the Eagles. Like, how crazy is that? 90% are starters on the Eagles. And now, you know, there's multiple ways to win, but the reason this is so encouraging is the Eagles are finding starters in the draft that are playing well for them. Like the Bears, you can find starters in the draft because who cares who starts for the Bears? You're just going to start them because you drafted them. The Saints, bad news, Kellen Moore. You're going to start the guys you draft because your roster blows. The Eagles, they're the best roster in the NFL, and they won the Super Bowl, and they're doing it with guys they drafted. So to kind of go from like this to that, the Eagles are losing good guys because they have a good team. Jamal Singleton, Kellen Moore, like they're potentially losing guys, but because Jeffrey Lurie does such a good job building and Howie does a good job with it, Nick does a good job with that of, you know, prioritizing development and like they're a good franchise, they're able to replace those guys. And the guys they draft and bring into the building are starters on an awesome team. I've said it before and I've said it again. If I'm a player in the NFL, I am in the NFL draft, I'm begging my agent to do everything he can to get me to the Eagles. I will sacrifice 5 or 6 slots of draft money to go to the Eagles, develop, get a fat second contract because I'm going to be a great player and win along the way. Like that, being number two in that is really, really wild. So very, very impressive stuff by the Eagles. All right, on the other side, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, which is play a long piece of audio for you, but I think you guys will enjoy it. So that's on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so this has been the first pod where like we haven't really brought up the Super Bowl. Like, you know, the guys leaving. There has been mostly no like parade talk, celebration talk. But the party doesn't have to stop yet. It's a daily pod. It's a Tuesday. It's the worst day of the week by far. Tuesday, worst day of the week easily, other than when I'm on WIP from 3 to 4 p.m. Tuesdays with Elliot. Make sure you check it out. But I've always said Tuesday is the worst day of the week. It doesn't have the excitement of Monday. It's not the middle of the week like Wednesday. Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, and then obviously Friday's Friday. So I wanted to play this for you guys. Maybe you're in the car driving to work. Maybe you're at home working. Maybe you're working out. But I just thought this takedown of all the Eagles critics by Jake Tapper of CNN, big time Eagles fan, was just so good. Now, I'm not a take shamer. I have takes all the time that turn out wrong. So I don't love like pointing out like, well, you said this and then this happened. But I think of any team that can really play that card, the Eagles are one of them. Like people really doubted Jalen. People really doubted Nick. Like, so I want to play this for you guys. Hopefully it gets you going and excited again on your Tuesday. So here's Jake Tapper talking about the underdog, I guess, the doubted, the underdog Eagles.
In our sports lead, it's Valentine's Day, so permit me a moment for a love letter. Philadelphia celebrated the Super Bowl victory of its, our beloved Eagles today. The team predicted to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs by so many experts, including the President of the United States, instead completely and utterly dominated them. This is par for the course for this team to be underestimated. A team that consists of a frankly special group of guys who have been consistently dismissed and discounted and derided. And for a lot of us Eagles fans, that is part of why we love this team so much. And it starts with Jalen Hurts, our star quarterback, the Super Bowl MVP. The University of Alabama and its alumni are all out there claiming Jalen. But back in 2018, Coach Saban benched him at halftime of the championship game in favor of Tua Tagovailoa. Jalen stayed at Alabama the next year as backup QB, but then after that, he transferred to Oklahoma so he could play. He was drafted by the Eagles in the second round, and that pick was trashed. "Hate the pick," tweeted ESPN's Mike Greenberg. "Don't get it at all." And the hate kept coming. Here's Chris Sims a year ago.
"I think Jalen Hurts is also like the most overrated player in football."
Here's ESPN's Dan Orlovsky 5 months ago.
"I think we've seen the best of Jalen Hurts. That 2022 season and playoff stretch, that's the high.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to recapture that."
Here's Orlovsky 9 days ago, saying that Jalen Hurts' name does not belong in the same breath as Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen.
I don't think there's anything that Jalen can do to be in the conversation with those three guys as players.
Hot take about a guy who won the Super Bowl MVP, finished the game with two touchdowns. His 72 rushing yards are the most ever by a quarterback in a Super Bowl, Dan. Then there's Saquon Barkley, our amazing running back, whom the New York Giants not only idiotically let walk, the Giants let a documentary film crew for the show Hard Knocks capture this ignominious moment for history.
All right, so I just talked to Ed Berry, and I think just mulling over this, the right thing to do is let you test the market and see what your value is. The organization thinks the world of you and everything you've done.
I'm glad you captured that on film, because that's going to be the first line of your obituary, buddy. The Eagles, Howie Roseman, snatched him up, and more hot takes about Saquon Barkley followed.
The signing of Saquon Barkley is once again another indication that the Eagles panicked. Saquon Barkley never lived up to the second pick in the draft. He was overhyped, overrated, and the Giants even knew it by allowing him to walk out the building with nothing in return.
I tried to tell you, Eagle fans, you have that losing player, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a difference maker for the Eagles.
Oh, Nick. Saquon Barkley's season with the Eagles included 2,507 rushing yards, the most ever in a season, surpassing Hall of Famer Terrell Davis's 26-year record. Story after story like that of the guys on this team. On the Saints, Zach Bond was mostly limited to special teams and outside linebacker, and here he is intercepting the ball during the Super Bowl with the Eagles. On the Lions, some jerk on the team slammed Darius Slay as a major cancer. Slay came to the Eagles, and they voted this starter a team captain. Mekhi Becton had two rough seasons with the Jets after injuries. They let him go. He was picked up by the Birds. Here he is crying with tears of joy after the Super Bowl. There's a Jets fan in the studio here shaking his head. The Titans, A.J. Brown, a superstar with the Eagles. Here he is scoring a touchdown at the Super Bowl. And he is also, we should note, a champion when acknowledging and discussing his own mental health struggles. Absolutely no.
What made you kind of come out and want to talk about that? I'm so sorry.
You're fine. It's okay. Like I said, it was a dark moment. And it was a year ago where I had thought about, you know, taking my life, you know. And it was special to me because it just came with my heart that I wanted to share with others.
I mean, that is so special for a football player to acknowledge that publicly. And then, of course, last and certainly not least, our coach, Nick Sirianni, now one of the winningest coaches in the history of the game of football, criticized from the moments the Eagles introduced him in 2021.
He looked like a deer in headlights. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. He was mumbling his words. This was a horrible start.
Like a puppet.
I don't know what you're talking about, Steven. Sirianni led the Eagles to a Super Bowl in 2022. The naysaying continued through last fall. Sports journalist and podcast magnate Bill Simmons, in September, just a few months ago, suggested that Sirianni's career was over. He wrote, quote, "I'm excited to hire Nick Sirianni for Ringer Pods in about 3 weeks. He'll be good," unquote. And the criticisms continued in October.
I feel like Nick sometimes doesn't get it.
Yeah, to me, I don't know if there's a wager you can place with our friends at DraftKings, but I think he's a borderline lock to not be the head coach for the Eagles in 2025.
Yeah.
And that's not making a prediction. They're missing the playoffs, making the playoffs. Like, he will not be the coach next year.
I will definitely take that bet. And somebody doesn't get it. I'll tell you that. Here's the thing. So many of the guys on this team, so many of the Eagles have been told, you're not champions, you're not excellent, you're overvalued. They've been shoved aside, they've been dismissed, they've been told to move on and get over it. But their inner drives took all that crap from all those ridiculous voices and said, you are wrong. I do have value. I am a champion. You know what? The Eagles were right. The Eagles were right. And we love them, not just for being champions, but for proving the naysayers hugely, embarrassingly wrong. Fly, Eagles, fly.
So there it is. What a takedown. I mean, again, not a take shamer. Kind of surprised I wasn't in that, although I've been very supportive of Nick and Jalen, so maybe that's why. But regardless, a good listen on your Tuesday, a reminder that you all have a lot to be happy about, and you can continue to celebrate the Eagles' Super Bowl title. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I am James. Talk to you later.